pleasure as Marshal of the University to welcome you to this ceremony to dedicate this hall in honor of those Alaska citizens who during the past 54 years have served as members of the governing board of this university. To open our dedication ceremony, the Choir of the North under Professor Charles Davis will sing Choose Something Like a Star, and the ceremony will then proceed according to your printed program.
Thank you. To something like a star. Thank you, members of the choir, each one of you. And thank you, Mr. Davis. And I wonder if our distinguished guests would join me in a round of applause for their magnificent effort. I've looked forward to this time for quite a number of months. For we're sitting in what I conceive to be the heart of the university, the Fine Arts Library Complex. I think that as such a complex is the heart of any great institution, just as I think that a great institution is really the heart of the state which supports it. And it's particularly pleasing to me to have here today not only members of the present Board of Regents, but members of who have served in former years, and they should be named as we go along through the ceremonies, but it's heartwarming to have you come and be with us on this occasion, in which we dedicate to you for your great service to education, great service to people, great service to Alaska, this magnificent hall, and perhaps a bit of history. You know, we had an appropriation request before the legislature in 1964, 10 days before the great earthquake. And our plans at that time showed it as a facility with, I think, five buildings, one for each for art, music, theater, speech, and the library as about half of the total complex. And our plans were postponed for 2 years while we recovered from that natural disaster. And the price went up, and we slightly modified the plans and were ready to have the regents pass final judgment on it. When our architect, Mr. Mayer, came in one day and he says, "Would I have an idea?" And I applauded him for this. And he said, "That outdoor patio that we're going to tie the five buildings in your Fine Arts and Humanities and Library Complex together with, seems to me might well have a roof, especially at 65 North when you get some temperatures that are on the low side." And I thought it was a splendid idea. He said, "I'll develop it," and he did. And you're sitting in what he developed, and I think it's a magnificent conception, and much better than an outdoor patio. And then what it was a special touch, though, he said, "You know, before we put in the floor, we already have a space beneath excavated, and we can finish that off, and you would have a communications center that you've been wanting." And so you're sitting on top of what is now in the process of becoming the radio and educational radio and educational television center for the University of Alaska and the state of Alaska. If you have time after the ceremony, I do hope that you will wander downstairs, wander into the theater on the left, into the art on the right corner here. Take time to look at the library. Almost every day I have students come to tell me, say, "Dr. Wood, we like the library. You can really study there. I think you will like very much the arrangement." The archives are located on the lowest level. You're on the third level now when you go through the back door here into the library. I hope you have time to take a look at it. And over here to my left in the corner is the music and speech building. And that, too, is a very special place. And I had the pleasure this, within the last week, of a man from another country come to my office and say, he was a government official. He came and he said, you know, I have a niece who wants to come to University of Alaska. And I said, well, I'm pleased to hear this. What is her field of study? And he said, oh, she's going to study music, and the University of Alaska has a fine reputation for instruction in music. And that was a great pleasure to me to hear this. Now, the regents of the university are very special people. And there are two of us here who should know this. One is the President Emeritus, Dr. Ernest Patti. And the other is myself. And Ernest, would you stand and take a bow? Sometimes I wonder if the people of Alaska, all 300 of them, have any conception of what it is to be a regent and how much of actual labor is involved. Last year it was some 38 days in session plus travel. And their compensation has remained the same through the last 11 years, and I believe the preceding seven as well, Ernest. We double it every year and it still remains zero. They do this because I think of their love for their fellow men and their belief in the value of education in a democracy. And they serve upon the governor's personal appointment confirmed by joint session of the legislature under the Constitution of this great state. And they're one of very few such constitutionally based, such executive appointed and legislatively approved bodies in the United States. I think there are only eight other states that have even anything that approaches this degree of responsibility, degree of autonomy that the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska has. And I think it is through their response to that responsibility, through their acceptance of it, their wise discretion in the use of their very great, very large powers, has made this institution, what I was telling Lieutenant Governor Boucher on the way in, one of the most remarkable institutions that serves any 300,000 people in the world. And so today is a very special day for me as the executive officer of that Board of Regents. And I am so very, very appreciative of all they have done during the years that I have known them and known them very intimately. I am proud to have had the opportunity to have served here with the leadership and the support and the confidence with the confidence that they have made possible. And I know that when the time comes for a successor in office that he too, or she perhaps it will be a woman, who knows, will feel as Dr. Patti feels and as I feel, as I'm sure that Terrence Moore and Mr. Bunnell felt for all of the boards, frankly, of the University of Alaska have had the touch of greatness. Now it is my very pleasant duty to present to you the Lieutenant Governor Boucher of this great state, who is the a very special person in his own right. And I'm delighted that he could find the time today with Mrs. Boucher to come and spend with us. And he tells me he's going to be here on campus tomorrow. And I've just been waiting for a chance to show him all of the levels, if you please, in this battleship here of the North. Red, it's yours.
I'm going to get a drink of water, but Dr. Wood, Dr. Patty, distinguished guests, as Bidey will tell you, sometimes I bring a speech and I throw half of it away, and I've already done that because most of the people who are sitting in this room have a far greater sense of history of indeed this great university and this state than I and my wife and my children will get in the next 50 years. So I'm going to keep them here in front of me and I just refer to them very briefly. It's a beautiful day out, and actually I want to be able to visit with some of the students and look at this great area, which I believe is the heart of Alaska in many ways. Governor Egan, and we are honored to represent him here today on Governor's Day, for he is in Washington, D.C. on a hearing relative to the native land claims before the United States Senate. And while he deeply regrets that he is unable to attend, as a retired chief petty officer who came to this community less than 15 years ago, and has drawn much of his inspiration from what has happened here on the Hill and from the people that I have met in my hometown, I'm delighted that I can be here. And I just like to be here as Red Boucher and have the faculty, the students, or anyone who wants to speak to me be assured that I have the time to listen. And while it may not be visible in the day-to-day news stories, you can sure bet I battle for what this university stands for and what it has done for our state and what I think it can do every time someone asks me what I think. You know, I envy the young people. We were talking earlier today about the compression of knowledge, and Alvin Toffler's statement in Future Shock to people of my generation that we were born in the middle of human history. For relatively as much has happened since I was born to date as happened prior to my birth to the time of Julius Caesar. For indeed we are living in an exploding technological society. Man in this decade alone has extended a giant outward reach into space and inward into the oceans of the earth. It's not inconceivable that man will begin to move into the sea in the next decade. For indeed, the challenges are great. But there is another area of space that we are searching. And that is the inner space of ourselves as individuals and man as a collective society. And I believe that the young people who are what this university is all about and what we on our side of society are trying to give to them. And as I said earlier, and this is based on a continuing experience factor, I think we have an awful lot to give to each other. I had the privilege of being back in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday of this week when we dedicated the statue to Senator Bob Bartlett. And I have referred to it in a number of conversations as a man who had the feeling of both generations. He had the biological experience that just living gives you, living the seasons and the sun, and man has not found no way to put all of that together in a short period of time. But yet he had the ability to talk at all levels, whether it be on the man in the street, or the great statesman of the world. And I don't know, somehow or other, when I was standing there in the rotunda of the Capitol, I don't think that what I said were words of my own, because they just seemed to come from someplace. But it gave me some ideas about the people who have made this state and brought it to where it is today, so that the oncoming generations can make it even better. And I wondered what he might have said. How would he have talked about the pipeline? How would men of his caliber who rationalize things with his heart as well as his mind approach this? What would he have said in the halls of the Senate? And I think he would have told his colleagues and the United States that they were missing the boat, that they were caught up in the emotional eye of the ecological storm, that actually they lost the whole point. For indeed a nation that can send man from earth to moon and can communicate with man from earth to moon and can bring him back with a small piece of metal protecting that environment from thousands of degrees of heat, that this very nation could certainly address itself to insulating 180 degree oil from its surrounding environment. He would tell them that we might be losing our guts, that we were caught up in a hysteria, and while the concern was justifiable, and while it is a product of man not learning how to dispose of his waste, that he had the feeling that our 49th state, as its northernmost star, was not an area around which to build a fence for fear of the future. That our 49th state was not the last island of man to be preserved simply to show what man didn't do, but was a land in which all America could gather hope. For indeed, in addition to our natural resources, we have the very resources for which this university was founded. It is the only major university located in an Arctic environment. It is an area in which most of the problems that we are thrashing around about could be solved. It is an area which people who make abstract statements about our 49th state should visit. While I feel there should be a genuine concern, I would like to have them also talk to the young student who talked to me as I came in the door and asked me about job opportunity for the summer. There will be 4,000 young people graduating from high schools all over our 49 state. And there will be many students graduating from this, our university. They, as the pioneers who built this university, and the pioneers who built our 49th state, share a great love for nature and the land in which they were born, or a land in which was born unto them. They want the opportunity to participate in their 49th state. Many of them do not want to be a bookkeeper in Los Angeles or a lawyer in Philadelphia. And I think that those who find us a playground for fanciful ideas should get up off their knees of fear and stop looking at Alaska as something to lock up. I think they need to begin to think of our 49th state not only as the last wilderness frontier, but as a new frontier for the creation of thoughtful plans that will result in a nationwide, indeed a world swing toward the recognition for the need for man and earth to be in harmony. Let them look to the northern star for the promise of tomorrow, rather than preoccupying themselves in hopeless despair with the fears of today. We Alaskans and the great men who built this state before us live in a land of challenge and are proud of our heritage, and we love that challenge. We recognize the problems. They are genuine. They are real. The death of Lake Erie and the pollution of our environment in many of the larger cities is a very real thing. But we stand ready with our sister states to solve the problem rather than run away from it. Florida, our sister state, on the other end of the axis of America, saw a man on the moon from her shores. Alaska could be the new frontier through the help of this university and other areas of higher education. It could be that area from which our nation launched an all-out effort to reclaim our environment and firmly plant the word man back in humanity. Let our generations, young and old, conservationists, concerned, and men of industry alike, act with faith rather than react from fear. For indeed, if they will listen, the promise of Alaska can be the promise of America. Thank you.
Two commemorative plaques have been cast in bronze to mark this occasion, and we've asked four of our women members of the Board of Regents, past and present, to assist at the unveiling at this time. Mrs. Atkinson and Mrs. Reedy will unveil the first plaque. The permanent place for these plaques will be on the back wall on the two central panels. This first plaque reads, Regents Great Hall. The destiny of the university since its beginning in 1917 has rested largely in the hands of its trustees and regents. Special recognition is made of the following boards, which served at periods of particular significance in the history of the university. And then there follow eight short paragraphs which describe highlights in the history of the university and name the members of the governing board at that particular time. And the eight highlights that we've selected are, one, the establishment of the Alaska Agricultural College and School of Mines in 1917. Two, the election of President Bunnell and the opening of the college in 1922. Three, the establishment of the university in 1935. Four, the election of the second president, Dr. Terrace Moore, in 1949. Five, the election of the third president, Dr. Ernest N. Patty, in 1953. Six, the Constitutional Convention on campus in 1955. Seven, the election of the fourth president, Dr. William R. Wood, in 1960. And eight, the dedication of the Regents Great Hall, May 1st, 1971. Thank you. The second plaque will be unveiled by Mrs. McLean and Mrs. Bullock. And the second plaque reads, Trustees and Regents, 1917-1971. The Governing Board of the Alaska Agricultural College and School of Mines, 1917-1935, was called the Board of Trustees. This board became the Board of Regents when the college became the University of Alaska in 1935. Alaskans who have served on these boards and helped shape the destiny of the university are hereby acknowledged. And this plaque bears the names and actual signatures of all 58 past and present members of the governing board. We are indebted to Mrs. Beverly Davis, a member of our archive staff, for researching old correspondence, minutes of Regents' minutes, and other sources to secure these actual signatures. Thank you. As mementos of this occasion, we've had small wall plaques made for each of the former regents still living and for the present members of the board. And we have asked Lieutenant Governor Boucher to present these awards as the names are called in the order of their year of their appointment. And these individual plaques read, the University of Alaska recognizes the faithful service and continuing support of, and then we insert the name of the individual, a member of its Board of Regents, and then the dates of their service, upon the occasion of the dedication of the Regents' Great Hall, May 1st, 1971. By happy circumstance, the present president of the Board of Regents, on stage is our senior member present, William A. O'Neill. His service is 1948. Mrs. Helen Atkinson, past member. Mrs. Atkinson served on the board from 1954 to 1963. See that in the script. Leslie Merlin. Mr. Merlin served on the board from 1956 till 1961. Mrs. W. N. Cuddy.
I'm going to kiss all the girls.
Oh, you're He's ad-libbing. Mrs. Cuddy right. Served on the board from 1957 till 1963. Dr. A.S. Scheibel.
You're safe, Doc.
Dr. Scheibel served on the board from 1961 to 1969. Robert E. McFarland.
He's safe, too.
The present member.
He's safe.
Mr. McFarland has served since 1963. Bye. Mrs. Dorothy Reedy. Mrs. Reedy has served on the board from 1963 till the present 1971. Mrs. Ruth S. McClain. Mrs. McClain served on the board from 1964 to 1967. Mrs. Edith Bullock, the present member, Mrs. Bullock has been on the board since 1967. And Dr. Hugh B. Fate. Dr. Fate has served on the board since 1969. Mr. Grundy has served since 1969.
Student representative.
And we have a freshman member of the board, Mrs. Bidey Park. So we have a little momentum for her, too. Mrs. Park.
Come on, freshman.
These are all the members that are present, past members, but we have a representative here for Bob Bloom, who was a member of the Board of Regents from 1921 to 1925. He was a member when the board, of course, when the college opened. And representing him is his good friend and pioneer, Harry Hughes. Harry, we accept him back. Sent regrets. He served from 1967 to 1968. Is Mr. Sneddon? Is Mr. Sneddon, C.W. Sneddon, present? Well, we'll give the plaque to Mr. Sneddon to send to him then. That's the agreement. We've also received regrets from Elmer Rasmussen, who's presently in Europe, or in Europe, and Audrey Loftus in Goose Bay, Oregon, Leo Road, Homer, R.H. Stock in California, Dr. Earl Albright back in Pennsylvania, regretting that they were unable to come today, and from A.D. Robertson and James Knoll, present members of the board, who were unable to come. I think this completes the list now. It's time for Regent O'Neill, perhaps, to say a word of response.
Thank you, Marshal Cashin and Lieutenant Governor Boucher, President Wood, President Mayor Fatty, and all the guests here, including the Regents. I'm very humbly pleased and honored that I'm able to stand here today and accept these plaques and the dedication of this building on behalf of all the Regents who have worked in the past and present for the benefit of this university. A university simply does not grow. It is a concerted effort by a great many people in all different branches, different departments to make it what it is today. 50 years ago, this university was started with an appropriation of $50,000 to build the first building, hire the first faculty, and get into gear with four or five students. It seems as though that $50,000 is not much today, but under the present circumstances and after having a little budget hearing this morning, I think $50,000 looks pretty large still. Lieutenant Lieutenant Governor Boucher, will you please take note of that?
I'm number two, Bill.
Try harder.
I have always felt it's been my good fortune to be a member of the Board of Regents, because the work on the board has been very gratifying, satisfying, as I know it has to all the other Alaskans who have been dedicated to the cause of higher education. As a matter of fact, the Board of Regents can do very little without the full help and cooperation of highly dedicated staff, faculty, and the students that have come here and have gone out into the world to spread the fame, you might say, of the University of Alaska. They become the alumni who also helps and is continually working towards the advancement of all areas of the university. The university is certainly a statewide institution. Its activities are scattered throughout practically every urban and hamlet there is in the state. It would be nice to look forward to see what this university is going to look like 50 years from now after seeing what the last 50 did. It is really hard to visualize. It is going to take larger sums of money. At the same time, this university is on the threshold of the possibility of being leaders in many different areas. We are living today in constantly changing times with the compression of knowledge constantly hampering or pounding at the doors, the changes will come much faster, perhaps, than some of us really realize. I think we all have to be alert to them. Change in thinking of what higher education should mean to people, how it should be used, how it should be accomplished. The development of the community colleges is another factor in the growth of the University of Alaska throughout the state. I am sure that in the future, the people that will be appointed to the Board of Regents will be just as dedicated as those in the past. And maybe the problems in the past sometimes seem they were very crucial, but I'm sure that the problems will continue to be crucial. There will always be problems, and it is going to take the concerted effort of all the people that is involved in the interest of developing education and the welfare of all the people in order to meet the challenges that are going to come in the future. Again, I thank all of you for this wonderful display of confidence in the Board of Regents and the dedication of this great hall. Thank you.
I was a little remiss on some of my several duties by not warning members passed.